Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1474, air date August 21st, 2024.
All right, great. All right, let's start. I'm good. Ready. Good to be here. Where do we want to start? I know we, at the outset, we had a number of things we wanted to discuss.
Well,
some open
I would
to,
like,
you know, the, yeah.
Yes, sir. I'd like you to maybe give us a little bit of your background. I don't know if my audience knows kind of your background and where you're from. And I think it's, and from my perspective, it lends you an incredible amount of credibility to show what you've overcome and where you've come from. Because to me, it's maybe, I believe that I feel like our generation of people are in a pleasure trap and they don't know what it's like to have nothing and come from nothing and have like a fire inside them to want to keep freedom and truth. And so I think that your background can be illuminating for a lot of people.
Yeah, Blake, I think it's a good place to start. You know, I'll give you what my day was today, okay? And I haven't changed my day since I was probably about 12 or 14 years old. You know, I'll get up around 4 or 5. Today, we had to work on 3 different lawsuits, and we don't hire lawyers. I file my own lawsuits. It's been an interesting journey learning how to do that in federal court, and actually, we've won a couple of lawsuits. The other part is, you know, I also run a company which is validating ancient systems of medicine, indigenous medicine, using a technology platform that I created out of MIT. And then I spent a couple of hours, we've created an entire educational program to retrain health educators to integrate Eastern and Western medicine. You know, then I spent probably several hours working with our volunteers all across the country. We're handing out cards which say, save yourself, right? We'll teach how to fight, shatter the swarm. We are still trying to get on the ballot in a couple of states, right? Mobilizing that. I mean, you cannot believe the amount of details that we have to work through because we actually go do the work. So it's a significant amount of work, and the organization that we're building globally, you know, we about a billion people know about our movement because of all the hard work we did. We weren't given any eyeballs, right? No one gave us access to mainstream media. So any popularity, any notoriety, any quote unquote fame we get is actually bottoms up built, you know? And that causes a lot of jealousy among other people because they've never had to build up their own exposure, you say, and credit and exposure are very important. The elites make sure that everyday people don't get it. And then they poo-poo when you go try to get the credit and the exposure you deserve. They say, oh, you're self-promotional. When all they do is about promoting themselves, you know? So when we come from below and we work hard to get the credit and attention we deserve, try to derogate that or make derogatory comments. When everything they do, Trump, booby fucking Kennedy, Kamala Harris, they have a machine of PR people. Billions of dollars are poured into these people who are fucking idiots. Kamala Harris being one of them, a complete moron. Trump being another moron. Booby Kennedy, another fucking moron. I mean, these people are actually would never survive on their own if they were dropped in the jungle. Never. But they're elevated to this stature because they are puppets. They never had to work. They do not know the value of work, but they do value stealing other people's stuff. They think that's intelligence, you see? And that's the way their parents brought them up. They are brought up in surroundings of exploiting other people. Exploitation is everything that they do. And they think it's good that you don't work a lot and you exploit other people's labor. And this is the heart of everything that we speak about. Trump is a fake businessman. Every business he touched blew up. Bankruptcy, bankruptcy, bankruptcy. Booby fucking Kennedy, you know, his wife hanged herself. You can look at his entire history, plagiarism after plagiarism after plagiarism. When he applied to Harvard, he didn't have to work. He just said, I put the name Kennedy, and he gloats about it. When he got into Harvard, awful student, his roommate is the one who wrote his senior thesis and won him his senior thesis award. And then he projects himself as some scholar. And then Kamala Harris literally slept her way through everything she's got. These people do not work for a fucking living. And yet they manipulate working people to bow down to them. How do they do that? You know, I don't care about either wing of the establishment, but I think this woman Grisham, who was his PR agent, spoke at the Democratic Convention. You know, his former PR agent. I mean, obviously, she's probably got her own issues, but it's interesting when the swarm fights among each other, they reveal a lot of juicy information. Yeah. And she said, when Trump is not around, he talks about all of his followers as scumbags and basement dwellers. Basement dwellers. Okay? When I was in Malibu and Hollywood, people would say the masses are asses. And after people used to come and get autographs from them, when they turned around, they said, that person's a star fucker. That's the way they think about you. I'm not talking about you generally. So all these magatards who wear their hats and get manipulated, they're just helping build a multi-billion dollar empire. These people think you're fucking idiots. They have no respect for you. And the reason they have no respect for you is because you have no respect for yourself. Because they know that they've done nothing in their lives. And they're just so enamored with themselves and think everyone's idiots. I didn't do anything. And look at all these hardworking people. They're giving me their money. I must be somebody. A guy who's got $400 in his bank account and who works hard every day to keep his family going is writing out a check to Trump for $200. Trump thinks he must be somebody to be able to convince people to do that. And I have witnessed these people in ways that 99.99% of the world will ever know. Because of my upbringing and the hard work I did and the achievements I made, I was always given opportunities to be co-opted by these people at every level, at the senior most levels of government, at the senior most levels of academia, at the senior most levels of entertainment among these people. Senior most levels of offering. But I never could fathom being part of them because of my hatred towards these people by the very fact they have come into existence by exploitation. So people want to understand who I am.
What was your first experience, you know, maybe as a young man when you had that type of co-opt experience or offer, you know, that here's the, you know, elixir of power. You know, when did you see like, oh, they just want to take from me. They're operating from a scarcity mindset and they don't want anything to do with me. And they're just going to take.
I think it was at varying levels. Let me explain this to you. So because I think I can answer this question by answering your first one, too. Anyone listening out there needs to understand that. A friend of mine, Mitch, said something. He goes, Shiva, most people have not walked in your shoes. They have no idea why you call people Zionist fucking cocksuckers. They have no idea of the hatred I have against these people and the righteous anger. And you need to understand, and if you don't have that righteous anger, I would argue that they've numbed you. They've Novocained you. Unfortunately, I never took their Novocaine. And that's why that lack of taking the Novocaine is what brings me to this point, this moment in history, having this conversation with you. Well, it begins in a sense of having great, great, great respect for people actually did labor, actually worked hard, Blake. And I've seen people work hard to a point that other people can't imagine for pure love of their family and their community and for service to others. You know, Milton Friedman, the father, modern father of capitalism, his theory is that everyone does something for selfishness. He's a Zionist hoodlum, okay? Zionists cannot understand that there could be a completely different way people operate, a completely different sense of values and virtues that is not based on ownership of property. They can't fathom that. You see, I come from a deep, deep culture, like most people, by the way, of, and I was very fortunate to have seen that transition. You see, if you look at the Native Americans, the Iroquois and these ancient traditional indigenous cultures, and you look at the Dravidians of South India, there was a time in humanity, which most people, most of the elites want to wipe out of history, when people had no concept of owning public property, you know, owning this, owning the land, owning the sky, owning the trees, owning a bird, right? This didn't exist in their framework. It's hard for people to appreciate this. In the Tamil language, you're in Indonesia, the ancient Siddhas, which were some of the ancient scientists of India, and for this matter, these cultures existed in every race and religion. Celtic culture, yes. People go far back enough, right? Native American culture, you know, you go to Finland, the Lappi culture, all over. It's not just limited to Indians. But in ancient traditional indigenous cultures, which were nomadic hunter-gatherer societies, they moved. The concept of owning something didn't exist. Like in the Tamil language, it's looked down upon if you use the word my. Like you never say, come to my home. You say, come to our home. Okay? In ancient Mongolian indigenous culture, when they used to build their yurts and they went out to hunt, right? And, you know, and they used to go out hunting and they leave their yurts open and someone came and ate all their food. They're like, oh my God, someone ate my food. No, they were very happy, elated someone came in. Okay? This concept of the interconnection of human beings to themselves and other people, our interconnectedness, we're not talking about dependence on others, but an interdependence, was a basis of many, many ancient cultures. Very deep ancient cultures, their spirituality, and it was deeply connected to the fact that you didn't divorce yourself from nature. You didn't divorce yourself from, you knew that your existence depended on the movement of information, matter, and energy, right? The movement of the earth and the suns and all these things, you were part of it. So this made you have a very different view. Now, not to say there was not private property, like someone went and killed a buffalo and they made themselves their own thing. Yeah, that's mine. But they didn't say, I owned that tree over there. You see what I'm saying? That's my oil, okay? This notion of the interconnection of other people and the concept that life was evanescent, that you would come and you would go, that it was not about accumulating, but it was about, my great grandfather said that when you died, it was the fragrance of what you left for the world. Did you want to smell like dog shit, or did you want your fragrance to be that of a beautiful gardenia flower? You say, what did you want that fragrance to be left as? And that was the essence of many of these cultures, that life was evanescent. What would you leave, right? What was that fragrance you'd leave? That is a very different set of values and trajectories that is based on, not based on the accumulation of capital. So we have to understand this fundamental difference. And that essence, when you lose that essence, you have no idea what it actually means to be a real human being. What it truly means to be human. So at some point in human history, with the advent of various things that took place, I call phase transitions, from the development of the plow, right, where we went from that world to the world of owning property, and then to another development where we went from that world to organizing labor, right? Modern day capitalism, which ended up becoming monopoly capitalism, which is all about just accumulating as much wealth as you can, right? concomitant with that was this academic manipulation of people to tell people, oh, it's human nature to be a dick. It's human nature to want to, that's how humans are. Well, it's not true, because I grew up witnessing humans who were completely of a different order. You know, I'll give you an example. In my own eyes, my great grandfather, who left as an indentured servant, as a slave, as a 12-year-old, he was put on a ship to go to Burma. In those days, young men, or, you know, as you're coming of age, you went to Burma from India. That was seen as the promised land. And he apparently worked so hard on that ship. Typically, if they gave you that ride, you'd have to work 3 years to get out of that bond, out of that bondage. He apparently worked so hard, the slave ship captain was so impressed by him that he felt it was wrong to let this guy, you know, he worked like 10 times harder than everyone. And so those stories compelled me to work hard, you know? So here he's in Burma, goes from nothing to become a very successful, I mean, he did every job imaginable. He was on the street selling pancakes to sell, I mean, anything you could do, right? So he acquired some significant wealth in Burma, but came bottoms up. But he was also very, very deeply spiritual. Burma was known for two things, a land of cobras and a land of Buddhism, right? So whatever he had, he used to give away. To give you the essence of this individual, when World War II, and people may not know, Burma was the point where the Allies and the Axis fought in Southeast Asia. It was a war zone. So overnight, Burma became a war zone. My dad used to tell me people used to walk around wheelbarrows of money, the level of inflation that hit. Massive crime. So my great-grandfather takes all of his land, and there were refugees pouring into Burma. And he takes all of his land, had quite a bit of land, and he created homes for each person, gave it away, and comes back to India. He went to Burma with nothing, and comes back to India with nothing. And so when I went to the village in South India, you saw this incredible human being who would go into, he would pray and meditate, and he would go into very interesting, he would start praying, and he would go into, and it's hard for people to imagine, he would start channeling God. He would speak in voices. And he would give blessings, right? He would do these things called sadhana. Some people may only see about in National Geographic. You may even call them penances, that is talked about in the Christian tradition or in other traditions. He would carry pots of fire coming out, but no blisters on his hand. He had learned how to overcome these very interesting biological functions, you know? So I saw this person in flesh, you know, do this. Yeah. Everything was attributed to God, this, you know, not by any name. In his home, you had pictures of Christ, you had pictures of Buddha, you had pictures of Muhammad, you had pictures of Ganesh, everyone. Because in his view, God existed everywhere, in every particle of the universe. And anyone who fought evil in this tradition, very traditional, deeply Shaivite tradition, was an agent of God. You see, in that Shaivite Hindu non-caste tradition, obviously Christ was the Son of God, period. There was no question about that. It wasn't a contradiction. But in that tradition, that God would send his messiahs from time to time to correct things on this planet, right? So nothing was out of that ordinary, right? So I had great reverence for all these spiritual beings, you say. So that was a tradition. So I was brought up into this very wild environment where my grandmother would go into trances, you see, where there was, the home was really like a temple, you know. Every Fridays, you would do pujas, which is where you cleanse the home with camphor. Camphor, by the way, is a antibacterial. So all of these things had a spiritual reason and a physical reason, you see. But most importantly, these people were still of the earth. They worked 16-hour days in the field, subsistence farmers. they knew my grandmother was trained in all these ancient medicinal systems. I saw her on Saturdays and Sundays, you know, 30, 40 people would line up at her home. She was a village healer. No doctors wanted to come to that village, right? There's no running water in that village, right? But the green in that village was beyond an emerald green like I've ever seen in any part of the planet, right? Just pure green, right? A purity of air. You didn't have to talk about organic food. Everything was organic. There's no GMOs. There's no organic food, right? The taste of food was actually tasted. You know, you go to the stores today, nothing even smells. You smell an apple, it doesn't even smell like anything. So I was very fortunate in retrospect in this, what some would consider a very pure world, a very poor world. It was a very pure world. But in that environment, the reverence I had for these people were hardworking people. You could walk the streets at 2 a.m. I mean, they're dirt roads. People would invite you into their homes, you know, right? Deep love, deep reverence for life. So I was able to experience an aspect of life which probably the Native Americans experience or the indigenous Indians experience, you see? So I developed this deep connection and what could I say? This connectedness that I cannot put into words. That was in that village. But then in Bombay, you know, where we also lived, that's where I grew up, was born in Bombay, was a very different world of, you know, 100 different languages, all different religions, right? You had people wearing Armani suits to people having nothing, begging on the streets, right? You had, you know, Mercedes on the road all the way to someone maybe with a cycle rickshaw, right? You saw everything in one scene. You know, the snake charmers on the street to, you know, skyscrapers, quite wild, you know? So in that world, there was the caste system, which I experienced as a 4-year-old kid, Blake, going to one of my friend's home. And I've talked about this many times, but it probably is good to repeat it. Being spit upon by my quote-unquote best friend's mother, not being allowed into their home, giving water in a different cup because I was a Shudra, you see, a quote-unquote untouchable. And that was deeply hurtful to understand at a 4-year-old that I had to start understanding politics and history, right? Unraveling all that. I don't believe many people have gone through this journey. But I think the way I reacted was probably even more unique because I was brought up in that village by my grandmother. Many people, you know, say, oh, you should always reduce your messaging to a soundbite. Well, that's not fucking true. People actually like long form stories. My grandmother would tell me stories. I mean, I didn't have to watch superhero films. My grandmother would tell me stories of the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, epic stories of Shiva and Rama and these great fighters, all fighting evil. And I'd sleep on her lap and she'd tell me these stories, went on for 2-3 hours, always engaging. Everything with God involved, right? Virtue, evil, right? And I think those stories affected me at a very deep level. So here I see this evil of this inequity called the Indian caste system, how I was treated and what it meant. And I think all of this occurred at a very, very young age, in an age where you're forming all the neurons in your brain, you know, still. And so I developed this deep love of these people, of this sense of service, noble service, this sense of fighting evil, the virtues of doing that, that was being truly connected to God, if you believed in a God. And the notion of medicine, you say, that you could heal things with nature had all these medicines that existed, you say? And also politics, you see, so all these things came together. And so I was forced to integrate all these things. I could not have the luxury of living in a reductionist world. Oh, I'm a Bombay Indian, or I'm just, you know, I'm a village person. So I was put into this world of having to integrate all these multiple worlds. So that was that very formative period, right? And so here, this family, very traditional Indian family, gets on a little spaceship called a TWA airplane in 1970 and transports itself to halfway around the world, literally, not only geographically, but to literally a different world. I'm going from, like, you know, a life that some people maybe experienced in 2000 BC in that village, right, to a life that's, you know, 20th century America, where you're landing. I literally landed in Newark Airport, or sorry, JFK. I didn't even know what winter was. I had shorts on and it was snowing. Okay. That was, to think about that, a young kid with shorts thinking it landing, going to Paterson, New Jersey, where a nice family took us to the, one of those Salvation Armies to get clothing in Paterson, New Jersey, in a one little bedroom home, which we had to put coal to keep the house hot. Okay. And around me was, you turn on the TV, you'd see the Vietnam War, people getting shot. You know, this is when journalists actually were allowed to still do journalism. We don't see any pictures coming out of Ukraine. We don't see any, you know, fighting, right? You don't see any of this stuff because we live in an age of massive censorship now. So, you know, you went outside, you heard music, you had these huge cars, right? And predominantly African-American people in Paterson, New Jersey, and music, right? Sex, drugs, rock and roll. That's the world that I was transported into from that world. I had to integrate that into my world, right? You go to school, you have to fight for yourself because it's a very tough school, Paterson, New Jersey. And then you're brown, you're not black, and you're not white, so the black kids can't figure you out, right? And then my parents moved to, every 2 to 3 years, my parents kept moving to different public school systems because Indians were all about education. My parents at least were. So you went from a complete spectrum of color, from dark black to sort of black and white to white, and then pure Zionists in my last high school who thought they're the chosen people of God. And me and my sister were only the two dark-skinned kids among these kids who would, very nice kids, but by the 9th and 10th grade, they would go to Israel and come back wanting to kill every Arab. And I saw this transformation. And then preaching that they were the chosen people, right? And I would win every award. I was a great athlete. And this, I had to deal with this jealousy, right? Deal with this jealousy of not being allowed to compete. That's how bad it got, Blake. I was so good at what I did academically and otherwise. You know, I was a center half back on our soccer team, which did 13 and over, you know, one of the largest divisions in New Jersey. So I wasn't just a fucking little nerd wearing glasses and talking with a nasal accent. I was a, you know, normal human being. The experiences I endured, which I still experience today, not being allowed, after we get on the ballot in New Jersey, Kamala Harris, a Brahmin, using the Democratic Party to throw me off the ballot so I can't compete. I experienced that in 7th or 8th grade. I was a number one student, and a teacher has an exam to determine who's the number one student for the whole school and says, I cannot compete in that exam. These fucking people do not want real competition. They keep real people who work hard, who come bottoms up, out of their competitions. Booby fucking Kennedy, Trump, and Kamala would never fucking survive if I was allowed to fucking really compete. If I was given the same amount of TV exposure they were, the American people would realize what a real leader looks like, what a real hardworking person looks like. And that's what they're denied. Elon Musk, he's a fucking dope. The guy's created nothing. He's promoted by the media. He's created to give people an illusion of what someone works hard looks like. Everything he's touched has been given to him. Tesla was created by somebody else. Twitter was created by somebody else. All of these are government benefit. He's a benefit of government tax dollars. But he's promoted as some genius. Trump is promoted as some fighter for the people. The Kennedys are promoted as though they're fighting for everyone. All of these people are exploiting human beings. So the interesting thing is, because of my hard work, sheer hard work, which comes from watching my grandfather, I can still see him out in the fields, hitting hay and coughing up blood. That's how hard he worked, because he wanted to send his children to school. So I've seen people work fucking hard. Some people say I'm lazy. I hate fucking lazy people. I hate people who do not want to work hard. A lot of natural born Americans do not work hard. Immigrants who come to this country work their butts off. America was built on immigrant labor, exploited immigrant labor. Let's not forget that. And the history of America, of the elites, is always making everyone second-class citizens. The first second-class citizens were the Native Americans, put on reservations. Then blacks were made second-class citizens. Then there was nativism when the Italians came, second-class citizens, right? Then women were made second-class citizens. Women didn't get the right to vote until 1917. Afghan women had the right to vote for 50 years before that, so-called backward third world country. Elites always try to divide us and make us second-class citizens. That's what the caste system was about. So I have a real hatred against that. Zionism is racism in the service of imperialism. It is a fucking caste system. This is why so many Brahmanism, what you may call right-wing Hinduism, I don't even call it Hinduism. It's like, is Christian Zionism Christianity? I don't think so. It's some other fucked up satanic cult. It has nothing to do with the teachings of Christ. Catholic Hinduism is not Hinduism. The works of Shankaracharya and the people who really talked about Hinduism was about everything I've talked about. It's nothing to do with their quote unquote right-wing Hinduism. Same with Islamic fundamentalism. All these people have taken little pieces of religion, sprinkled it into a political ideology, which is about denigrating the vast majority of human beings. That's what they've done. And my journey, however way, as I've talked to, brings me to this point to shatter all that, to destroy that. That's why I call it the swarm. And that's my mission in life. I hate these fucking people because they exploit the people that I really love. Those people work hard, care for other people, really love nature and want to leave this beautiful fragrance. And that's why I am the way I am. And I don't think I've shared this at this level of intimacy, but that's who I am, why I am. And so when people bring up Booby fucking Kennedy, are you fucking serious? This guy's life is one of absolute disgusting existence. Lying, cheating, everything just made up. He's never worked a day hard in his life, ever. He spit on policemen growing up. He can do no wrong. Kennedys can't fucking go kill people, and they have. And they have, and they get to be senators. Right here in Massachusetts, Ted Kennedy killed a fucking woman. Go watch the movie Chappaquiddick. He got to be senator. And I want everyone to really think about that. And no one asks about how Marilyn Monroe really died. That should really be the story. Fuck JFK. He was a mob boss. He was part of a mob family. One mob boss executes another mob boss, and they make us want to feel bad for this mob boss. The real exploited one was Marilyn Monroe, right? No one wants to talk about that. How did she die? If you want to talk about that, where did she come from? She came from nothing. She was, waiting to be exploited. So we have, the elites have pounded away a culture that values exploiters, values people who promote a philosophy that demeans them, and they have to shove this down people's throats. And it's all about demeaning people, demeaning the human journey of the individual at a very deep level. That's why my slogan is, you got to want to save yourself. And if you want to save yourself, I will give you the tools to do that, because my journey through all of the elite institutions, through all the insights I got, through the science, engineering, all my 4 degrees at MIT, every fucking achievement I did with my own bare hands and my mind and my hard work. No one gave me a Fulbright. No one gave me 4 degrees. I didn't have someone I could call to get me into MIT. I didn't even know about MIT until 2 weeks before I applied. Everything I did was through hard work. I got 800 on my SATs when the SATs were actually difficult to take. So everything I've done comes from hard work. It took me many years to realize the importance of credit, Blake. You see, because when you work hard, when you come from below, as I go, they want to diminish your exposure. They want to exploit you, but they don't want to give you credit. There's no gray area in the fact who invented email. I invented email as a 14-year-old kid, period. All the facts are out there. But when the story came out 33 years later, because I never wanted it, you could see the vitriol that came out, wanting to take away credit. And when I had to go demand my credit for that 14-year-old kid, oh, you're trying to be self-promotional. That's when I had to go through my own journey to have this courage to say, fuck you. Fuck you. Credit does matter, because the journey matters. The journey matters. That's why credit matters. The Trumps, the Kamala Harrises, the fucking booby fucking Kennedys, they have to make up fiction. They have to create their narratives of underdog. A guy coming down a fucking golden escalator whose father was a slumlord who gave him all of his apartment buildings. We're supposed to feel sorry for him, who bangs prostitutes when he wants. We're supposed to feel sorry for fucking booby fucking Kennedy, who banged 28 women and kept a diary of them all. And then when his wife found it, hangs herself. And then he goes and does a little prayer over her grave for the press, and then digs up her coffin and moves it to an unmarked grave the next day. All true, by the way. Or Kamala Harris, who comes from an elite Tamil Brahmin family. The same Brahmins who used to spit up my mother at the well and shoo her away like a pig. That's who her mother comes from. And her father is an elite Jamaican. And, you know, among the elite academic Jamaicans, they spit on all other black people. She's not from the black or Indian journey. She never went through the immigrant journey. Trump never went through the journey of a real businessman. He never had to do what I did to build all my businesses, actually sell a product that worked, satisfy customers. Shit was given to him. Everything. And what did he do? Multiple times he goes out of business. And then the Rothschilds save him. Literally, Wilbur Ross. And they put him on a trajectory to be president. If elections are selections, Trump was selected. Biden was selected. Obama was selected. And now the elites are trying to figure out who to select. Who will serve their ability to start wars on behalf of Zionism, print money, exploit the working class. Since 1970, the cost of living has gone like this. You can see it on ShivaForPresident.com. And lifespan is going like this. You know, I was arguing with Mike Adams. Oh, well, you got to still vote for Trump. See, Mike has to do that because he has to sell his shit to Trumpers, okay? I was kind and I didn't say that to him. But the problem is everyone's got an economic interest. My great-grandfather taught me to always do what's right. Fuck economic interest. You have to do what's right because your life will be gone one day. It's about the fragrance that you leave on this planet. So, you know, in 2020, 2021, you know, a billion people started hearing about it because there was a window where I did the right thing at the right time, which I've always done. Exposed the reality of the pandemic, saved 100 million of people's lives, right? We talked about the backdoor portal to Twitter, which I discovered in my lawsuit. And this took the least, holy shit, this guy got his name out there. So we have to now you know, put the lid on this. He can't have pain. He can't be out there. He can't be the representative of the people. He can't be the real underdog. And that's what you saw occur. So Elon fucking Musk, who comes from apartheid South Africa, what does he do? My followers on Twitter, 366. My followers, Zuckerberg, a Zionist fucking hoodlum. My followers on Facebook. So they put you on now, Blake, but they put you in a digital cage. That's no different than being an indentured slave, a servant of theirs. That's why I fucking hate these people. And, you know, I don't think Christ said, love thy fucking enemy. I don't fucking believe that. I don't fucking believe that. Because he took a fucking whip to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And I say, fuck you to all these Christians who are supporting Israel. Fuck you. That's my answer to them. You can't be a fucking Christian and support Zionism. You're not a fucking Christian. You're not a fucking Christian. Don't use the word Jesus because you're full of shit. And to the Islamic fundamentalists out there and to the Islamic Arabs who've sat by the wayside and seen Gaza butchered and talk about ceasefire now, living in America, and they don't want to talk about ending the occupation, I say, fuck you who don't put me on your shows. Because you are also exploiting the Palestinian people. There are many Palestinian causes which are just making money off watching the Palestinian butchery. And in spite of all the protests in many of the Arab countries, their leaders talk anti-Zionism, but they're doing backroom deals for the last 50, 60 years. So you can't think Iran is going to save the day. All these so-called fake anti-Zionists. Oh my God, Iran. No, the only people that are going to save us is ourselves. And that means you're going to have to work. That means you have to support someone like Shiva for president. That means you have to get out and hand out cards. That means you have to do work. And this is where you see the wheat separate from the chaff, Blake. We're out there actually handing out cards, building up movement, working our butts off like my grandfather. They'll talk all sorts of shit on the internet. Suddenly, Candace Owens is anti-Zionist. She's been sucking Zionist cock her whole fucking life. But it is in vogue to be anti-Zionist because she can get views and clicks. But she will never put me on because I'll expose who she really is. She goes all over the map. One day a Democrat, another day a Trumper, right? Now it's the anti-Zionist shtick. Well, why aren't you supporting the only anti-Zionist candidate? You see, my existence and our campaign is the litmus test for all these people. If you are anti-Zionist and you're anti-establishment and you really want, why aren't you Joe fucking Rogan talks? Always too little, too late, Joe. Same with Tucker Carlson. You see, these people are part of the CIA. They're part of the deep state. They know they have data from Palantir, which is Peter Thiel's company, which watches which way people are moving. And then they come in and they talk anti-establishment rhetoric now. Not for building a movement to shatter the swarm, but to keep people in stasis, thinking that that person is going to do the work for them. That's why our movement says, save your fucking self. Save yourself. I don't really want to talk to people who want to share with me other people. Oh, did you see Joe Rogan's podcast? No, I don't want to fucking watch his podcast. I want to find out, are you going to fucking help build a movement? Are you going to do you want to do any work? Did you help us collect signatures? No, you didn't. You talked a big game. Dr. Shiva, I love your videos. Hey, could you help us collect signatures? Crickets. Gone. They don't want to do the work, Blake, because they don't want to save themselves. They're lazy. They think someone else is going to do it for them. That's what this is about. People do not want to do the work. So if you go to ShivaForPresident.com, we have a download section. We have a card. The card says, Dr. Shiva, save yourself. Write in Dr. Shiva or vote for Dr. Shiva. Learn how to shatter the swarm. I'm not here to fucking save you, but you know what? I've learned how to teach you to raise your consciousness so we can shatter the swarm. You'll understand who the swarm is, and you'll understand that their continuing to exploit people comes from the fact that they know certain pieces of knowledge and scientific knowledge, which I was able to unravel being in their world And that's the knowledge of system science, which is the same system science that the ancient Siddhas practiced thousands of years ago, believe it or not. But they used it to heal people. These people use the same system science to subjugate people. So if you don't learn the knowledge of systems, you can go to truthfreedomhealth.com and learn it. You can learn how to get off the plantation. If you don't learn this knowledge, you have no way of getting off. You won't even understand history. You won't understand the mechanics of how people manipulate us. And you'll just keep saying, oh my God, I just heard Tulsi Gabbard. She's so good. Yeah, well, she's a fucking warmonger. She wanted to right away invade Iraq, right? 9/11. She wanted to go right after the people of Palestine after October 7th. And she calls herself against a military complex. You see, this is called absolute illusion, which the ancients talked about. When my grandmother would tell me those stories, she would talk about the goal is to see things as they truly are, to overcome Maya, which was known as illusion. And we live in the world of massive illusion. And the only way to get out of it is, do you want to save yourself? Because there's a lot of distractions right now. You know, lots and lots of distractions. If you saw that clip of that video, Trump goes, wait, wait. He goes like this, you know, wait, wait, I got to get the shot in, right? Yeah, right, right. Wonderful shot.
What my next question, but it kind of, you've answered it to a degree, is, you know, giving people agency. And I think that is the most difficult hurdle to overcome, to want to.
No, you can't. But I don't think it's I think that's barking up the wrong tree, Blake. The reality is this.
Okay.
The reality is there are enough people out there who are looking how to shatter the swarm and to let go of their own shackles. You follow? There's enough people.
Yes.
So there's this mass of human beings who are waiting to figure out how to get out of this. There's another mass of human beings who basically never want to change anything. They are profiting from the existing system. And that's about 30%. And by the way, these numbers are actually real numbers done by organizational theorists. And the other people are around 20%. And then there's this other blob around 50% of the people which are watching which way the ping pong ball goes. They don't have any convictions. Okay. The problem is most people think that they spend a lot of time with this 30% in their own families or their neighbors, you know, who don't want to ever do anything. They're arguing with them, fighting with them. Or they try to convince people or wishy-washy, you have no principles, and they leave this other 20%, which is 1 out of 5 people. So imagine in a neighborhood, you have 100 people. People are talking for an hour to the idiot who never wants to change anything for 5 hours, or they talk to the wishy-washy person. But if they just said, fuck that, fuck that, fuck that, go to the fifth household, they're going to find somebody like them. Fuck, 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 those people go to the next household. So out of 100 people, you find the 20 people. And when you get those 20 people organized, guess what? The other 50 are wishy-washy, are going to come over to you. And then the 30% get blown away. So we don't have to worry about the 30%. If they want to wear 5 masks, give them 5 masks to wear. Okay? Don't worry about them. So this is a very strategic mistake most people make because they don't understand the system science. Because once you get that 20% organized, it's like a magnet. You can pull the other 50% over and you can leave the deadwood behind. But 80, 90% of people do a major strategic mistake. They waste 80% of their lives with that 30%. And then these other 20% of people, they don't give any time to. Our movement is saying, I don't know if I could share my card here. Let me see if I can share it here. Can I share a screen here?
I can. Let me see. I should be able to give you
it. You can, yeah, if you can, it's okay. But this card a very good friend of mine and I designed it, Bruce Padmore. Bruce, by the way, has a similar story to me. He grew up in the slums of Louisiana. And Bruce somehow made it also to MIT, you know? So Bruce said, you know, Shiva, what you created is all these other people talk about, come to me, come to me. I'll save you, right? Vote for me, I'll save you. And when you go to them, they say, oh, by the way, give me all your guns, give me all your weapons. I'm going to take care of it. So they disarm you. And he goes, what you're telling people, Shiva, is that you're going to give them weapons and you're only going to find people who actually want to shoot these weapons. You're not interested in people who want to be wishy-washy. But the weapons that I've created, Blake, are the weapons that integrate Eastern and Western medicine, systems health. The weapons I've created is a certification that helps us figure out what is clean food. We've created a weapon which helps us look at all the 10 to the power of 32 compounds in nature, where we can figure out what works from natural medicines. And the weapon is a movement for truth, freedom, health, which is, do you want to save yourself? I'll give you all the tools that the elites learn, but we can use it for advancing our cause. So if I go to your thing and if I can share this,
I can.
Here we go. I think I can share it.
I can give that.
There. You should see it now. You see that?
Got it.
So that card, I'll zoom in on it. Some of them say vote for Dr. Shiva, right? Others say, but if you see this card, it said, what's the message? You see that, Blake? Save yourself.
Yep.
And why should you save yourself? Because on the back of the card, we have cost of living is going up and lifespan is coming down. They are actually killing you. And if you want to learn to fight back, go to the video. And we have an entire course for free called Get Off the Plantation. First of all, people have wanted, first step is, do you even want to get off their plantation? If you don't want to get off their plantation, I don't want to fucking talk to you. But if you want to get off their plantation, so we find people who say, oh my God, you're right. This is going on since 1970. Voting for Booby or fucking Kamala or Trump ain't going to change shit. Because every election cycle, what they do is they say, this is the most important election, Blake. I know, you know, Dr. Shiva is a good candidate, but this time we got to vote for Trump. We don't want to waste the vote, right? Yes, I know Dr. Shiva's good, but this time we've got to vote for Kamala, whatever it is. They've been doing this on and on and on, but look at those curves. Every time you choose a lesser of evils, look at the data. You're killing yourself. You're letting them kill you. So this card is a beautiful card, and we tell people to go to the site, go to the download section, download it, plaster it everywhere. You don't need millions of dollars for this. You just need yourself to do this. So that's the game plan. And we'll be on the ballot in nearly every state except four. Either you can write us in or you can vote for us. And we did that all bottoms up. So everyone listening, since for the last every 4 years, yes, this is the most important election, Blake. You know, and Jesse Jackson, a scumbag in 1984, he was building a so-called movement, but then he goes, yes, I know we need to build a movement, but you know what? Not this time. We got to give the votes to Mondale. Bernie, another fucking bullshitter. Yes, feel the burn, but not now. We got to get Hillary in against Trump. And that's what Booby Kennedy was put in there for. Booby is trying to figure out whether he's going to give his, first he went to Trump for a job. Trump said, fuck off. Then he went to, you know, try to sleep with Kamala to see if she'll give him a job, a cabinet position. She said, fuck off. Now he's back to the Trump camp. He's trying to figure out all of the people who think he's independent, which Zionist cocksucker he's going to bring their votes to and lead them like cattle to their slaughter. Bernie did it. Jesse did it. Obama. That's the role of these people. But I'm the real independent. And that's why I'm kept in a digital cage. But it doesn't matter. We're going to get on the ground. Fuck social media. The future is offline. The future is offline. The future is with real independent people. So if anyone's listening to me, Blake's the real journalist. Why? Because he's covering me. Yes, that's real journalism. because I'm the elephant in the room that a billion people know about our movement, but I don't get covered on fucking Joe Rogan, but he'll cover people who eat maggots and shit. You know? Or Fucker Carlson repeats all my stuff from 3 years ago. He's a CIA agent. His whole family's a bunch of fucking CIA agents. He's a Mossad agent. Trump is absolutely Mossad. He just took $100 million from Sheldon Adelson. And it's telling he wants to expand Israel. And MAGAtards are talking about America first. Are you fucking serious? It's like they have people in this mode of a trance of thinking Trump's going to save them or Kamala's going to save them. And this is Satan. To me, this is the devil. If you think someone's going to save you and you don't have to work hard, you're full of shit. You're lazy. And that goes against the laws of nature. Everything in nature has to fight for itself. Go to Africa. The lion gets up, he's got to hunt. Everything is hunting. Everything's got to do the work. And if you think there's a shortcut, you will be exploited. You will be the sheep. You will be eaten. That's why Trump gloats about these people give him money. Booby Kennedy gloats about people. Kamala Harris gloats. They think you're fucking stupid. And you are stupid if you give them money. You're really fucking stupid. And you're really fucking stupid when someone like me is running. You're talking about, oh, I don't know if he could win. It's not about winning on their battleground, Blake. It's about winning on our battleground, which is a battleground of consciousness. And we're exploiting their fucking bullshit to use this opportunity to raise people's consciousness. So that's the gift that Shiva for President and our movement is providing you. But we don't want to throw pearls to swine. That's why you want to save yourself, we're here. If you want to vote for fucking Trump after all the videos and after all the work you guys know I have done and delivered, it was I who March of 2020 called a pandemic. It was I who said we should not lock down the country. It was I who exposed the backdoor portal to Twitter. It was I who worked day and night exposing all the election fraud at the right time. After all the shit I've done, you still want to fucking vote for Trump or Kamala? I say, you're a dumb fucking idiot. Great, go do it. And go to the slaughterhouse. But we will organize a movement, which we're doing, of people of a very high degree of consciousness, and it'll be like a nuclear explosion that takes place on this planet. Because one of those people who gets this is a million times more powerful than a bunch of idiots voting for Trump or Booby or Kamala. It's about consciousness raising. But you can only raise people's consciousness, Blake, who want their consciousness raised. You can't force people to, oh, read this really good book. You should read it. I don't want to. Okay. You know what? There's really that water is really good for you. It's got minerals. Oh, I don't want to. Okay. You know what? You should really listen to that music because it'll, you know, make you feel good. You know? Oh, I don't want to. Great. Why do we want to waste our time with those people who want to spit at the wonderful gifts of nature? And that's what we've uncovered. But there's enough of us. There's 8 billion of us. And I believe there's at least 20% of us among those 8 billion, 1.6 billion. So there's more than enough people. The way I look at it is get four no's to get one yes. That's great. You just got to do no's, but don't spend your time on no's, right? I'm sure when you got married or you find someone, right? My dad used to say the most important thing in life in relationships is rejection, rejecting people, not accepting. Reject, 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 reject. Set your values and standards high. I mean, I find it amazing, quote unquote, Christians lowering their values for some dumb shit like Trump. Quote unquote, people say they're for the working people of this country who are for, or people of color who for Kamala Harris, who fucking locked away working people, who's never worked. Or people they say that they're for fighting for freedom when everything the Kennedys have done, their entire history has been to start imperialist wars all over the country to subjugate people. So people really need to elevate themselves. Do they want to save themselves, Blake? And there's enough people. I believe there's 1.6 billion people on this planet who want to save themselves. Let's focus on mobilizing them. Fuck everyone else who doesn't want to save themselves, because those 1.6 billion people are the ones who actually are the ones who are working. And the other ones will just be eaten by these individuals who will just exploit them. So the issue is, do you want to be exploited? Do you want to be enslaved, or do you want to get educated? If you want to get educated, I'm here. The movement's here. We've created all the curriculum. You don't have to go to MIT and spend $1 million or $500,000 or go to Harvard. We made it accessible. We create situations where you guys will learn. The volunteers in our movement are learning how to file lawsuits. They're learning how to argue. They're learning how to do expository writing. They're learning how to use a computer. So many people we've had to train in basic skills. Like, no one teaches them how to think, how to read an article, how to write an expository writing piece, how to present clearly, how to follow up with somebody. You see, all these skills are not taught anymore. What is being taught to people is to bow down to them, to look for saviors.
Right.
There's no fucking savior coming. And if there is a savior, that savior is not going to save you. If anything, he's going to provide you tools so you save your fucking self. And that's what this is about. So I hope that answers your question, Blake. It's not about us, you know, trying to convince people. You get burned out, man.
Yeah, no.
You get burned out.
Yeah, and I think you answered that well, because I think that you can't do that. It's kind of the saying of, you can bring the horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So it's,
yep,
well said. I know we're hitting about an hour mark, but kind of changing gears a little bit. But this is something that I kind of was profound to me. You had mentioned, I think I followed a post of yours that you mentioned, it was like you had been on either Twitter or LinkedIn, and you basically would, you're saying something right off the cusp, like, hey, this is just what happened. Here's my thoughts on it. And then you would basically you would see this same results, or almost like this synchronicity of other people talking about it on social media somewhere almost within a few days. Are you kind of tracking with what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you have certain, like I said, and when I, you know, I had just come back from Asia and I had to do something. And I said, yeah, you know, I said, I'm the only candidate who's not a Zionist cocksucker. Okay. And immediately everyone starts copying that because it, you know, in spite of all the shadow banning, I think got 1.5 million views. But those people copying it, though, are doing it not for building a movement to smash Zionism. They're doing it because it gets views and clicks. Okay. Yes. Right after I exposed the entire backdoor portal into Twitter, then you had Fucker Carlson talking about it 2 years later, you see? But they didn't want to give any limelight to me to discover that, because in 2020, we could have actually done something about it. It's like you see a shooting occurring, you report on it. Everyone else sees the shooting. You know, Fox News doesn't report on the shooting until 2 years later, but they write, they report on someone else who wrote a book about that shooting.
Right. Yes.
So my question is, what I'm saying is, delayed truth is deadly. And by the way, that slogan, I said, Elon Musk literally copied that a couple of months ago.
Yes.
Because I hammer,
I think the hindsight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the hindsight of that is, I've just experienced that, and I kind of knew what you're talking about, and I could to some degree. And so the hindsight, I think, with the current AI, whatever AI is right now, and I have a little bit of familiarity with Palantir. When I was in the Marine Corps, we used his system. And so I said something like this after the Trump assassination attempt. I said something like this to my wife, where I was like, hey, you know, because it's like, hey, babe, you know, I don't believe MK Ultra was made to, you know, just go out and reach out to some person. I'm like, we're going to mind control you and just you now do what we tell you to do. What I think it was made for is like, how do you control a billion people?
Exactly.
How do you put out this like image messaging, this, you know, constant feed of data and information and misinformation? And then when you have a huge population of emasculated men, broken men, that then that's what that does. And so this type of person or people fall through the cracks, and it just, it literally manifests out of itself. And I, you know, discussing that with her, and she's kind of on that level. She's kind of going like, okay, you know, think about it. And then no shit, within the next week, I see Peter Thiel and Joe Rogan all more or less asking the same question. This is kind of recent, just recently. And I'm kind of sitting there. I don't watch it any of that anymore, but I saw a sound bite of that come through my, you know, from my feed or on Instagram. And I was kind of like, oh, you know, just, wow. I was, the synchronicity of it and kind of the hairs on the back of my neck stood up of just seeing that type of hindsight come back of my Blake Fisher in Bali, you know, doing my own thing, have that realization and then see that in the collective consciousness was, you know, staggering to me. But I want to get your thought on that as well. Like, what?
Yes. So Blake, there's a interrelation between information, matter, and energy. Okay. This is two phenomena: thoughts, matter, and energy. And there's a longer discussion on that, but these are related. These three manifestations of the same thing. They recycle between them, right? And people don't understand how this exactly works, right? A thought happens here, then it shows up. But what I'm saying is the swarm has gone even 10 levels beyond this. They understand this phenomenon and they're exploiting it. Okay? They understand the 100 monkey phenomenon and they're exploiting it. They're like, holy shit, Dr. Shiva just exposed a backdoor portal. Others are going to start talking about it. So we are going to talk about it. We're going to own it. And then we're going to bury the news. Okay? It's called a limited hangout. That's the goal of The Intercept, that newspaper that says we fight darkness. People like Peter Thiel, people like Pierre Omidyar, they're the ones behind all this. They understand this phenomenon. And they want to get a couple of chess moves ahead. Thiel plays chess. They understand this phenomenon occurs. They're like, holy shit, Shiva just exposed election fraud. Oh, we're going to create a guy called Mike Lindell who's going to talk about election fraud, but he's going to use it to fucking sell pillows and make it so wackadoodle that it's going to sound crazy, right? Oh, wait a minute. Dr. Shiva just exposed Monsanto. So we're going to find someone else at MIT who's going to talk about similar, but make it wackadoodle. You see? That's what they're doing. They're taking a real phenomenon and getting ahead of the news. So this is the role of Elon Musk. He's the resistance. Are you fucking serious? I want to slap the shit out of him. He's not the resistance. He is talking about being the resistance. He puts him and Trump in black coats like they're the Matrix. I mean, think about what they're doing. They're not underdogs. They know that there's a very deep, fundamental epigenetic narrative deep in the souls of all human beings about fighting evil and about real underdogs who come from below. They know this story. It goes back to, it's embedded in us. It goes back to all those great stories my grandmother would tell me. It's what Joseph Campbell discovered, okay? In the hero's journey, they know this exists. So what they're doing is they're hijacking that operating system. They're creating their own fake underdogs. Trump ain't a fucking underdog. Are you fucking serious? They have to create theater to keep making him look like it's like WWE theater. I mean, they're telling you to your face the day after, 2 days after he gets shot in the ear, then they have Hulk Hogan at his convention. Come on. They're telling you, you're a fucking idiot. I'm going to fuck you. You're a fucking idiot. And then you're like, is this WWE? Yeah, it is fucking WWE. Trump is the WWE Hall of Famer, by the way. And he has Hulk Hogan. Don't you see the level of mind fucking that they're doing? So they're getting ahead of the story.
The movie.
What's that?
I don't know if you've seen that, but Idiocracy, the movie. Have you seen that by chance?
Yep.
Terry Crews is up there, and I think they paired Terry Crews in the movie up with Hulk Hogan, and I remember seeing that going like, yep.
So that's what's going on. They are getting ahead of the story. You see, they're getting ahead of the story so they can own the one of the most important stories of humankind, which is a hero's journey. They're creating fake heroes. That's what they're creating. They're stealing one of the most important journeys of humankind and ensuring that the real heroes, the real underdogs are diminished. And that's the power of the social media now. They've completely centralized control as never before. So that's where we're at.
I know we're
at. But the good news is our movement exists. Yeah. Our campaign exists. Guys like you exist. And there's at least about 1 to 2 billion of us who exist. So I say we have to get organized. We have to study. We have to get on the ground. We have to educate other people and raise people's consciousness. Now, I've created the curriculum to do that. We've created the framework to do that. And we've created a disciplined way to do that. If you want to be undisciplined and be a dilettante, it's not the right movement. You got to go hang out with Bernie for 20 years, you know? Go smoke ayahuasca all day. Go smoke weed all day, you know? Do stupid shit and burn out your brain cells, you know? And you probably won't be smart enough at that point to even learn anything. But that's why, Blake, I think the goal is to be very respectful of our own times, of our own energy. And work with people who actually want to build a movement, you know, and let go of these other people. Everyone should do this in their own lives. Agreed. I mean, if everyone actually practiced what Christ said, actually practiced what Buddha said, actually practiced what all these ancient traditional cultures said, you have a golden age overnight. Overnight. But people get, unfortunately, the word lazy is probably the best word I can come up with. But the good news is there's enough hardworking people on this planet, Blake. People actually make things and produce stuff, get up and work, and all those good people, you know? They are the ones that need to be connected with. And there's enough of us still out there. I would say, you know, still, you know, a little bit more than 50%. So I'm very, very optimistic. As long as we conserve our energy, you know?
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I can't help but be optimistic in, regardless.
Yeah, so someone said, had me until he dissed mind-expanding consciousness tools. Someone just put that up here. Look, I think what this individual needs to understand is that if you think smoking weed all day or doing certain drugs is mind-expanding, you have to understand something. You know, if you really go study the spirit, there within your body is the endocannabinoid system. And I know this at a very personal level because I've never smoked weed, but I meditate a lot. I've had people in my own family who smoke weed all day and they burned out their brain cells. And I remember someone saying, oh, Shiva, you should smoke weed. It's going to expand your consciousness. So one day I had a friend of mine who goes, oh, yeah, I want to do weed. So my nephew came over and he made some pot cookies. And I have very little to do with my nephew, by the way. Okay. And I ate 6 of them. It didn't do anything to me. My friend ate 1 of them, was all fucked up. Now, why is that? And I would argue because of the level of meditation things I do, that you don't need external shit. There were 2 types of yogis in ancient India. The yogis that actually sat on their ass, were disciplined and meditated, because it is very difficult. You know, one of the years ago, I did a thing called Vipassana where you go to 10 days of a retreat where you have to be silent and meditate. There were triathletes there. They said it was harder to sit still for 10 days and you can't speak. You can't ask dumb fucking questions. You have to be silent. Now, most people don't have that discipline. Oh, I'm doing weed. I had these fucking experiences, man. You didn't have fucking any experiences. You're delusional because the cannabinoids that come from weed, by the way, weed comes from a female plant. It goes and directly hits the anandamide presynaptic targets, which are what your own body can generate. If you eat the proper foods and you meditate, you yourself can turn on your own endocannabinoid system, sitting and connecting. Now you go take other shit from outside. It's no different than people getting testosterone injections. Guess what happens? Your fucking nuts shrink. You're shrinking your pineal gland. You're not expanding it. 99% of the people I know smoke weed all day. They're fucking delusional. You go to their homes, it's a fucking mess. They have no discipline. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. They'll talk a big game. They're doing nothing. It's like a hamster going in a wheel. And particularly for people who have tendencies for psychosis, you know, kids at the age of 15 years old, you're going to fuck up those kids. Teach people how to sit quietly. Teach people how to pray. Teach people how to meditate. Teach people how to sit still. You'll turn on your endocannabinoid system. Teach people how to get enough fatty acids in their diet. You turn on an amazing infrastructure of your nadis and a way to connect that you've never known before. So my great-grandfather said there were two gurus, the ganja gurus who would smoke weed all day, and then the guru actually did the work. These gurus went to the highest heavens. These guys were stuck maybe in the astral plane with some colorful experiences. There's much higher states of existence beyond that. And that's the illusion. So it's the same reason that the people who run Palantir are the ones who are funding all this other psychedelic shit. If you're going to take that shit, you better be careful what you're getting, what you're taking, how you're taking. I have a bunch of friends who go, not friends, associates, people I know. Oh, I'm going to go do ayahuasca. I'm going to get rid of my smoking. Someone I knew did that and they started smoking like never before. So your body has a lot of infrastructure, God-given infrastructure that you can turn on. Now, in ancient times, people were given soma, which was a concoction of certain psychedelics. The gurus gave it just for a little bit, just to give people the potentiality where you could go, but you had to do it on your own. You know, it's like putting someone on a treadmill, you know, but you weren't supposed to fucking smoke weed all day and wake it and bake.
Yes.
So that's what the establishment, I mean, you got fucking dispensaries everywhere. Who's making money off that? Think about it. Who's making money off your nuts shrinking? Who's making money off your fucking pineal gland shrinking? Who's making money off you? Someone's making money off it. They want dumb fucks. They don't want people with expanded consciousness, you know, with an eye of a tiger thinking, with men with testosterone, with women with estrogen, right? Being warriors. They don't fucking want that. They want fucking pussies. They want you to be sucking Zionist cock all day. That's what they want. They want you looking to Trump to save you. They want you looking to Booby to save you. They want you looking to Kamala to save you or Bernie. They don't want you to looking to yourself. And that's what this is ultimately about. Do you want to stand up on your own two fucking feet? Do you want to do the work? Or do you want to keep sucking on mama's titty all day and talk big? Talk anti-establishment. You know? Talk I'm the resistance. You know? And when someone like me is here, you fucking don't support us. So everyone listening, litmus test, ask all these fucking grifters, why haven't you interviewed Dr. Shiva? And if they're silent, know that they're part of the swarm. You don't need it. Their silence says it all.
Well, I think the Nietzsche coined a term where basically was to understand a person's character is how much do they like the truth? Do they like it diluted, sweetened, masked? And that's something is interesting to me because I like to operate with radical transparency and truthfulness. And I feel like that is very rare to have that. And
there was a great
for people to swallow.
You remind me of a great story of a great yogi, Milarepa. And Milarepa lived in the woods And when people came to him and said, I want your wise teaching, he would throw stones at them and he would curse at them. He said, get the fuck away from me. And no, because he didn't want to take students on unless they were serious. And so finally, when a student came to him, he would say, okay, take all those bricks up to the top of that hill and build a fucking building. And then he'd go, okay, take those bricks and bring it back down. At a certain point, you realize that there are those people who really want to put the effort to learn. And there are those people who talk about wanting to learn, but they really don't want to do the work. What's great about athletics and doing physical labor, there's no politics in physical labor. You either can fucking do it or you can't, or a skill. Either you can, you said you, you know, flew B-22s. Either you can learn it, you can fly it, or you're going to crash it. Either I can solve a calculus problem or I can't. Either I can lift, you know, 185 pounds off my chest or I can't. That's why I love about skills, because it's a one or a fucking zero. You can't talk your you can't talk your way through bullshit. I would like to challenge all these three people. What skills do they have? I'd like to know what skills Trump actually has. I don't know what's probably bullshitting people, right? I want to know what skills Booby actually has. What skills does Kamala have? I can tell you what skills I have, and I challenge them physically, mentally, emotionally, mathematically, scientifically, engineering. And you go look at the founders of this country, the United States, they had skills. Jefferson could design a home. He could write. I mean, they could write. They wrote great treatises. They knew farming. You know, Washington knew what sine and cosine were, what trigonometry was. He had to do surveying. That's what he was. He was a surveyor. Franklin understood electricity, right? Printing. Printing is an art form. What skill do these fucking people have? They have nothing. They have no skills. Nothing, 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 nothing. You got to really ask, who are these people? And you realize they're absolutely shells of human beings. If I were to say, solve that fucking problem, build a bridge. Build a fucking bridge, Booby. Show me how much weight this fucking beam can handle. They can't fucking do it. I can. Wire this house up. Tell me how much electric amperage is needed in this fucking home. Can you tell me? How much resistors do you need to have? Can you design this fucking computer? Can you write a piece of fucking software? I can do all those fucking things. Should I not be the president of the United States like the founders? Why is there any question about that? Elon Musk can't build a fucking spaceship. He doesn't know how fucking fluid mechanics works. He took over companies and he fights hard so his name gets put in there and then he gets promoted. A friend of mine that I was traveling with, I met this guy. He was a CEO of one of the major chip company still in the United States. And he invited me later to give a talk at his company. And he said, Shiva, you know, I was so disappointed when I went to see the Tesla batteries. And he's an engineer. He goes, I thought they were going to be amazing technology. He says all they were a bunch of Duracell batteries in series because there's no fucking technology there. It's all bullshit. Do you understand these people are bullshitting you at every fucking level? Humanity should be having wormholes. We should be having stars. We should be at such a different level of innovation. We have no idea of human capacity. If I can build email as a 14-year-old kid, how many other fucking 14-year-olds are out there who could be building wormholes to go to other planets? We don't even know. We're like scratching the surface of human innovation, which fucking bunch of retards running this country. Nothing to people of disabilities. These people actually are retards. They exploit humankind. They diminish the possibilities of being human. They can't fucking fix anything. Lifespan is going down. Cost of living is going up. You know, the way they attack each other is to talk about whether Michelle Obama has a dick or not. I mean, this is the level of consciousness that they're at. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
A guy called Cat Turd is Trump's biggest promoter. You know what I'm saying? Look at the depravity of these fucking people.
Yes.
So to all of you listening out there, you have to really want to save yourself. And if you want to do that, I've created some tools to let you do that. But it's all about raising your consciousness. Go to Shiva for President, download those cards, do something, hand them out. Hand out 10,000 cards in the next 90 days. We should hand out about, 100 million cards. And we should fucking disrupt these people. A lot of people should vote for me or write in. Doesn't matter if they cheat the elections. They're going to get a signal. Holy shit. People are really waking up. Not only they're waking up, they're getting out of bed. It's one thing to wake up. You need to get the fuck out of bed now. Waking up is not what it's about. Get out of bed and, eat a good breakfast and go to fucking work now. That's what we're doing. Our movement, people are out of bed and they're actually working. That's what we're doing.
Well, sir, thank you for your time and hopping on and sharing.
And by the way, everyone listening, Blake,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Blake was a Marine. You served this country. You have skills. You learned how to be a pilot, right, Blake? You flew B-22.
Correct.
Yep. And, to people out there, the reason Blake's interviewing me, and I respect him, is because he actually has skills. He's been through his journey, and people have been through their journey, and a lot of people here, you know what real is. So for all of you out there, if you really understand and appreciate what I'm saying, is I want to see you work. Get on the ground. Go hand out our flyers. Go take the fucking, get off the plantation. It's free. I give so much shit away for free. Go do it. It's all free in many ways. Get on the ground and educate people. Leave a fragrance. Don't leave a fucking poop pile when you exit this planet. Leave a wonderful fragrance. That's what life is about.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Like that's I think that's the idea, is like going towards, kind of from a Marine Corps sense, is going towards the enemy's fire, even though you're scared, going towards the fear, the obstacle, is kind of how I think of that in today's day and age, where in the Marine Corps, they'd be like, hey, there's the pillbox up there, go charge the pillbox. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. I'm just not going to go do it in the open field, I'm going to flank them and then go, hit them from the side. And I think it's just a matter of like, it's go execute. Like the fear is a mind killer. And this is kind of why I want to do this, because I operate in truth and seeking the truth. And it's typically in the face of like when you are scared, when you are fearful. But that is the only way to like awaken. And I feel like to find yourself and purpose and mission. I digress, but that's why I wanted to speak with you and chat about that, because I want to see.
So Blake, thank you so much. Southeast Asia is an interesting part of the world. You should get, every Thursdays we have an open house, and we do 11 a.m. in the morning, and then we do it at 8 p.m. EST. People go to vashiva.com/orientation. But we're a global movement. I was in Malaysia, was it Thailand? I was at a big event there. Where else did I forget? But we have a lot of people in Indonesia, but you should get involved, because we're providing a leadership training program. It's really an engineering school. People teach civil engineering, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, but where's revolution engineering? Where's the engineering science of how to change the world? And that's what we've created, but you should come to it, because Southeast Asia needs some strong leaders, there's a lot of good people. We have in Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia. So that's one thing I recommend to people. The other thing I recommend to people is to go to Shiva4President/cards, and you can get that card. We've open sourced it, downloaded, printed, plastered everywhere. And the other thing is everyone should go to truthfreedomhealth.com and become a warrior scholar. It's really the engineering school for revolutionary change. The slogan is get educated or be enslaved. It involves curriculum, books, textbook. It's literally, I've had to create a whole field, of engineering. So it's a gift for people. People should take advantage of it. And people should get involved. All right, Blake, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Have a great day.
Yep.
Thank you for being on.
Yeah, best to you and your family. Bye-bye. Thanks,
Blake. I just ended the recording, and okay. Let me make sure. Okay, I'm uploaded on my side. Actually, if you just give me...
Okay.
You're still at 75%, so I'm still...
Okay, let me just hold here. I'm just going to finish up with my audience here. I'm just going to play them a video, if you don't mind. All right, everyone, was Blake. No, Blake, hold on. I'm just going to play people a video. I'll be right back. So okay. I'm going to end with playing our video to everyone on our campaign video. But everyone, get involved. Go get a bumper sticker at ShivaForPresident.com. Go become a Truth Freedom Health warrior and get on the ground and start handing out those cards. ShivaForPresident.com. Go to the downloads or ShivaForPresident.com/cards. And you can print. It's open source. And get it out there. Let me play this. Can I play the video? Is that all right, Blake? On my side.
That's all good.
Okay.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers, and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not-so-obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities, and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white, have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption, and racism. They've transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering, and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food, and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day, millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight. independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement, all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shivaya Duray, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shivaya Duray, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.